Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Yeah, what's up, world? This is Noah Sadarusso, otherwise known as NSR, otherwise known as Young God Body Buick, otherwise known as the better-looking Adrian Brody. You are now in tune to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn in beautiful Bushwick, New York City. It is time to get embarrassed with us.
Welcome once again to Lost and Rewound, right here on the one and the only Radio Free Brooklyn, streaming 24/7 on the Radio Free Brooklyn mobile app. You can download that if you want. You should. RadioFreeBrooklyn.org/iPhone or RadioFreeBrooklyn.org/Android for any of you Android users living in the past like myself. My boss actually was like, yo, your camera sucks. I was like, well, that's because iPhone's cameras are better. Deal with it. And then I put my shades on and did like a anyway, I'm on my own here this week, as if you couldn't tell. Will has the week off, and I don't know where Jimmy is, but I hope he's doing okay. Allison, I don't know where she is except for being somewhere down in the swamp. Catherine, I think, is asleep, so it's okay. I'm here. Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. And here at RFB, we are relying primarily on donations from listeners like you. So if you'd like to support our mission, we can continue to bring you this quality community radio, and we invite you to make a one-time donation or monthly pledge at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. You can donate as little as a dollar. You could donate as much as $500 and have the studio named after you. I swear to God, that's a real thing. Look it up. Every cent will help us continue to stay on air and help support this independent community media by pledging whatever you can afford. Your contributions are tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law, so it's all copacetic. Again, that link is radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Lastly, if you want to keep in tune with all of the cool events that we got coming up, don't hesitate to check out our newsletter, Radio Free Brooklyn, R-E-A-D-I-O Free Brooklyn. That's radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. And you could learn about all the events, ticket giveaways, new programming, special offers on swag. Swag. I don't know. I call it swag. I think I like the maybe it's because I'm Jewish. I don't know. The swag. So the emails are only going to come once a month, just for the FYI. So you know how we do. We are promoting a spam-free world, and we're all about it. So that, again, is radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. For all my Jews out there, I wish you a happy new year. We are in the middle of it. And this week's guest, I am really looking forward to having. So let's get to it right now. Noah Sadarusso is a New York City-born DJ, producer, MC, and I'm lucky to call him a fellow Ithaca College alum. He and I did WICB together in college, and I'm lucky that he has agreed to be here this week on Lost and Rebound. Here he is in the studio. Welcome to Sodar Russo, a.k.a. NSR.
Yeah. What's up?
What is up, my friend?
Thanks for having me. It's really nice to be here.
I figure this is a good opportunity for us to have a little bit of a reunion. I feel like it's been a few years since even the last time we even chatted in person.
Yeah. I think I've seen you in the streets.
I'm always on the streets.
Yes, you are. You are. as am I as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we haven't, it's definitely been a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think Doug, our old producer ran into DJ Turbs. He originally at Ithaca, he went by DJ Turbo, and then somewhere along the line, I think he just changed it to Turbs.
He'll probably strangle you if you call him Turbo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nah, maybe he'll appreciate the nostalgia.
He's actually
more of a pacifist. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry, Turbs. He's a nice guy.
Collaborator.
He'd be angry outside.
He's a collaborator, another Ithaca College DJ alum, and you have collaborated on a number of tracks. In fact, one that we may actually get to hear in this hour. Your involvement with him as a DJ gave you more of a chance to be an MC.
Yeah, we met in Ithaca. He was a junior when I was a freshman, and I wanted to do radio. And I mean, I probably wanted to do radio since I was a child.
What were you listening to on the radio back? What radio stations were you listening to?
I was listening to WKCR. I was listening to Stretch and Bobbito.
Word.
For those that don't know, they now actually have a NPR podcast called What's Good with Stretch and Bobbito. I'm just out here promoting them as well, I guess.
No, they're your influences. They're your teachers.
Yeah, for sure. They actually had a show on. It was an underground hip hop show on Thursday nights from like 1 to 4. And there's actually a documentary on it called "Radio That Changed Lives." They basically broke a lot of artists. Obviously, super influential for me being a kid that was interested in radio and also a little backpack hip hop head. This is back in the day when you couldn't get stuff on the internet.
Probably stream it on RealPlay or something, but that was about it.
I almost think it was like before that, because I remember literally having to tape the shows because it was Thursday at 1 and I was in high school. And so I remember like going to sleep and, pushing record and play on the tape deck. And then it was a 90 minute side for each. And I would say, this is so nerdy. Kids don't have to do this these days. I would set an alarm for an hour and a half, and then I would flip the tape over. And then every Friday, I woke up just tired as shit. But
you'd throw the tape in the deck.
I'd have the tape in my Walkman. And, like me and my nerdy-ass hip-hop friends on Friday would come in all sleepy-eyed and be like, yo, you heard the Big L freestyle. You know what I mean? For me, from a music and radio standpoint specifically, that was definitely probably one of my biggest influences.
You went to school on the Upper West Side? You were from the Upper West Side?
Born and raised on the Upper West, yeah. And I went to PS 87. I mean, I'll just run down the schools. PS 87, Manhattan East. Went to LaGuardia High School for drama for a year and a half, and then left and went to Beacon.
What made you leave LaGuardia after studying drama?
I think at that point in my life, it was just a little too intense for me. I was 13, 14 years old. I literally didn't know what I wanted to do. It was kind of a pretty prestigious school, and like a lot of homies that, that I grew up with ended up getting in there for different majors. So I was excited to go. But once I got there, it was like, 4 periods of drama and drama related things like tap dance and movement, and then studying like Stanislavski's method of acting, and I was like, I just kind of want to smoke weed and skateboard. And
imagine that you wanted to be a teenager, you weren't ready to be a professional yet.
It was an intense program. I just kind of wasn't sure at that point.
What was the first rap album you remember purchasing?
I actually think, damn, this is kind of cliche. I wish it was like a little more cutty. I actually think it was 36 Chambers. Wu-Tang.
And
for those that don't know.
For those who've been sleeping, there's a group with 9 MCs and it just came at you real hard.
They can't. Yeah, I actually remember asking my mom if I could get it. I was like, "Oh, there's this album that I want. It's by Wu-Tang Clan, 36 Chambers." And she was like, "I heard about it on NPR. You can't get it." She's like, "You can't get it." And she wouldn't let me get it.
And lo and behold, now 20 years later, and now you get the rap shit on NPR anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's come full circle. Actually, an interesting story about that is, and this is shout out to Very Good Parenting and to both of my parents who were extremely good parents. Another album that I wanted, you know, that was back in the like the parental advisory. I think it was like Tipper Gore or like some, I forget who.
Yeah,
like
that sounds about right.
Like what campaign? There was like a big kind of like a, you know, kind of a political movement around like, you know, censoring music and putting that when that parental advisory sticker like launched. And the album that I actually wanted was Beck, Mellow Gold. And my mom was like, "I will let you buy that album if you learn how to play an instrument." And that's how I started to play guitar.
When did you start? And so when was that?
I was like probably 12.
12 maybe. Or 13?
Yeah, 12 or 13.
So you're in middle school. You're learning how to play guitar. And that is
maybe 11.
Hey, but still, I mean, you're at an age, though, in that point in your life where, you know, you could continue doing it or you could go, you know, remove it from your palate and focus on something else. That was for me. Like, I learned how to play guitar when I was that age. And then I just didn't go through with it because I was too busy acting and just working on that grind. The nature of your playing guitar didn't have any connection at all with your interest in rap. It was simply just in the back pocket, your talent of learning guitar. You didn't pursue it at all.
No, I didn't pursue it professionally per se, but I was always interested in music. My mom sang in a choir and she used to say that when she was pregnant with me and she was singing in the choir and I would always kick during the... like while she was singing, I don't know. So
are both of your parents pretty? I mean, obviously, you're saying your mom has been involved in some form of music, singing choir, and your father just as well involved with music, or just more on the interested part?
Yeah, point. Not really. My dad less so. It was more of my mom.
I forgot. Do you have siblings at all?
Yeah, I have a younger sister.
Okay.
Shout out Rebecca.
And did she get influenced by the music that you were listening to? It's interesting having folks on who are younger siblings who get influenced by their older siblings with the music they listen to.
Right.
You and I both are older siblings. So would you say that what you listen to or vice versa, what your parents were bestowing onto the both of you inspired you?
Yeah, I think for Rebecca, my younger sister's case, it was more my parents' influence. I can't even remember if, I think she was listening to like more pop music back in those days. And I don't really think she was, I don't know. I can't even remember if like, if me being like, "Yo, you listen to this Snoop Dogg album, Doggy Style." And which Doggy Style, I also remember, I feel like I had to hide a lot of stuff from my parents.
You had to hide albums?
As teenagers do. Yeah, well, all right. So the tape version of Doggy Style, in the liner notes, there were like it was like a cartoon. And it was like naked dog. I don't know if you remember.
I'm familiar with this.
It was like an erotic cartoon. And I remember just being like really ashamed of having, or kind of just like, I can't let my mom find this. And I used to hide this shit under my pillow.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't want any parental units to find you with any kind of animated smut. How dare you at your age have such filth?
Yeah.
What would they think when you wanted to start learning how to rap yourself? Were they a little bit on the fence about it?
My parents were always extremely supportive of everything. You know, I mean, one of my first loves was skateboarding, and growing up in the city and skating, I didn't really feel connected to any like team sports. And I was kind of just wanted to do something that was creative and independent and that didn't really like follow any rules or boundaries. That was skating for me. You're looking at me like,
yeah, no, but that's also indicative too. It's like you're learning an instrument. You have your form of transportation, be it biking or skateboarding.
Right.
And you chose that. And so you probably got with a crowd of folks who were all listening to the same music.
Yeah.
And you had kindred spirits, if you
will. Totally. Yeah, there definitely was there was a scene, and it was, I think it was way less popular than it is today, rather. I don't know, like not that many people skated. Now, skating and listening to rap music is you know, is very commonplace.
Peanut butter and jelly. Good old-fashioned PB&J sandwich.
Exactly. And so when I was doing it, I didn't want to wear a jersey. I didn't want to, like, be tapped in and say, okay, now you have to go kick the ball a certain way, or now you have to go, you know, throw this ball through a hoop. And it's all about balls, basically. Skateboarding for me was, especially growing up in New York, it was a way to explore the city. And it also allowed me to, like, to look at structurally and look at this at this place in a completely different way, you know, like look at a structure and not think of it as like, these are stairs that I walk up, but they're, you know, stairs that I will try and jump down or grind on. Or
I sense that you were the kind of cat who wanted to travel and learn about the city. You had the ability, you had the permission to go and explore. And you, I sense that you had a notebook with you and you were using that time to just sort of like write in the park. You'd go and you became more of a writer first and then, if anything, an MC second.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty true. I was always writing. I had friends that were interested in hip hop and I can't even really remember like when I started. I remember the first rap song that I ever recorded, which I was looking for, which would definitely embarrass the shit out of me, which I was looking for today, but I still might try and find it and get it to you. But I was just, yeah, I was with the kid and like, you know, everyone was just smoking weed and freestyling. And that's what we did. There was this place around LaGuardia and Beacon. There was a spot called the Squares and everyone would go hang outside at the Squares after school. And it was like LaGuardia people, it was Beacon people, it was Martin Luther King people. So, you know, you had the...
It all converged.
Yeah, you had the diversity that New York is inherent for. And there were just big ciphers all the time. And I remember just being super scared, especially I think like I was very race conscious of me being this white kid that was, you know, and that was involved in a black art form. Took a while for me to build up the courage to like step in a cipher and rap, and then I did, and I feel like I was accepted, or people were like, oh, this kid, he's all right, like he has some skills, and then I think that just kind of pushed me, and then I kept doing it.
And now you're doing even more than just rhyming, you're producing, getting back to that a little bit. I have to commend you, because I never would have expected seeing my homie Noah Sauderusso on my fucking television doing a scene for House of Yes in High Maintenance of his DJ skills.
Yeah,
you've reached the apparatus, sir. You're a high maintenance actor and
shit,
a DJ.
I wish. I mean, no speaking roles, but definitely didn't get paid either. But
damn.
No, that's cool. It was cool. No, that was like a, you know, my little 1 second of fame. It was short. It was very short.
For those who are not aware, there was a scene in a recent High Maintenance episode that took place at House of Yes, and
it was actually at Jedson Memorial Church.
Where is that?
So on West 4th Street.
Okay.
And it was supposed
to be somewhere else?
Well,
and then
there was actually another episode that was filmed at House of Yes in the more recent season of High Maintenance.
My fault.
But this was, no, it's all good. This was, I mean, there is very similar. It's kind of like, you know, they're both like very burnery parties. And this was like a morning. They had these like morning parties. This one was called Morning Gloryville. And there's a bunch of other ones that are like, people who wake up and go dance and then go to work kind of things, like not in after hours, but that kind of season. And High Maintenance was filmed at one of these parties in this church in Jedson.
Talk a little bit about what got you to doing what you're doing in terms of the kind of music you tend to produce and the beats that you're making now. I mean, you're a beat maker, you're a DJ, and clearly you've tapped into a scene that you probably didn't know you were going to be involved with before.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself in there? Was it just the people who were booking you?
You know what? When we were doing radio at Ithaca College, I was always interested in DJing, and Terbs, who we talked about before, was definitely an influence for me. You know, he's playing all hip-hop vinyl in those days. And, you know, I graduated college. I was kind of typical, like floating around, not really knowing what I wanted to do, knowing I had these interests, obviously, but not actually knowing how to go about making that my life. I was bartending and I was making music. I was making hip hop at that point. And then I remember just bartending in these spots and the DJs were really bad. No disrespect. I'd work on Saturday night, and then they'd kind of come and play the same sets, and I was always like,
just sort of phoning it in.
I was always like, yeah, like I could definitely do this, and I always had an interest, and then I learned, and then I started DJing, and then I think it was just a natural progression to where I am now. I kept doing it, and then started producing music, and I played. I mean, at this point, I play everything. It's a lot more house and techno and disco focus and less like hip hop stuff. Although mm-hmm. I do a monthly hip hop party called Future Old School at Friends and Lovers, which is one of the best venues in New York City.
Yes, it is.
Along with House of Yes. For me, it's like, I don't know. It's a gift and a curse because like I can do a lot of different, I'm super versatile as far as like the music that I play, but I don't have a clear lane, I guess you could say, you know.
Why do you need a clear lane? It seems like you're pretty direct in that you want to just bring a party. And if you're willing to be flexible, depending on who the crowd is.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point of a DJ?
True story.
Uh-huh. True story.
Damn. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And for me now, like I get to do a lot of the things that I want to do. And as far as like play music out that I want to, there are certain parties that I play that are, you know, only deep house and techno. There's certain parties I play that are disco. There's certain parties I play that are more open. And then there's some parties I play that are, you know, old school hip hop.
Are those your favorite parties to throw to DJ?
I think
current day NSR.
Yeah. Current day. I think my favorite parties are ones that people are just open musically. It goes both ways. In the hip hop world, it's like a lot of times, you know, what gets people hyped are songs that they know. And in the house music world, it's a lot of stuff that people, you know, it's more of a vibe and less of like the actual song. You're a little more limited when it comes to doing the hip hop stuff. I think I gravitated more towards the house and disco stuff because a lot of it was about digging for records and being like, no one's going to know this record, but it's such a good fucking record. You know, and like, and it's going to have that same reaction as if you played, you know, Hypnotize.
Yeah, that's what's up for me, man. And on the Hypnotize tip, I have to admit that when I finally heard Herb Albert's Rise, I fucking flipped my shit because that track is so goddamn funky. And I would, if that came out of the club instead of Hypnotize, I would be all up on the dance floor.
Yeah.
There's something about like hip hop samples.
Yeah.
Finding into that same sort of that niche of the disco and, you know, rare finds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That off the top of my head, I can only think of that kind of style of music that would really get me jumping onto the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm going to a bar mitzvah coming up in this weekend. I know they're going to...
Oh, shit.
My cousin's going to... You know, I remember holding my cousin, man. I remember holding him in my hand like as a newborn. Now, 13 years later...
Now he's a grown man.
Yeah, he's going to have...
With a circumcised dick.
Don't want to think about that.
That he didn't consent to.
Sorry. No, it's fine. I'm just like trying to not think about...
I can curse and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Curse all my fucking wall. Motherfucker. But I was going to say, I hope the DJ is not too bad. I mean, you know, when you have a bar mitzvah, you've got bar mitzvah, right?
No.
You never got bar mitzvah?
No, I didn't. My parents gave me the option. They were like, you could go to Hebrew school and, you know, do this. And I was like... what does it really entail? And they're like, oh, you have to, you know, study the Torah and et cetera. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Would you DJ at bar mitzvah?
I think I have. I have DJed at bar mitzvah.
Ooh, tell me. Excited. No, I'm saying because
I don't even know. I really don't know.
How do you entertain 13-year-olds?
Like. I don't know what the kids like today. I have a few people who kind of keep me in touch with the youth, but I don't really know. Turbs knows what the kids like. I don't know. Like 13-year-old Jewish kids probably listen to, you know, like Little Yachty and shit.
I don't even know what that is, but I believe you. Yes.
My ear is way more to the street.
It's a little Yachty. I don't know Little Yachty. Okay. Wait. Hum the song. What's
I don't know.
Song?
Like, nah, I don't know.
Okay, it's okay. Let's actually this time take a listen.
Let's cue the Lil Yachty.
Yes, cue the Lil Yachty. I have to mention this because anybody who wants to check you out online can do so. You're on SoundCloud, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you got imnsr.com.
Yeah.
One thing that people will undoubtedly think when they see your face is he looks a lot like Adrian Brody.
True.
And I remember being very into Adrian Brody's body of work when I was in college. And I never,
tell me more.
Never would have thought of that I'd be seeing a dude I knew from college in a music video rhyming about how he's the rap Adrian Brody. And immediately I was like, niche, he got it. He got it. Hook, line, and sinker.
You know,
how did you arrive at this? It's amazing. It's brilliant. You know, a rapper and a producer too.
He is. You know that I was dating this girl who lived on the Lower East Side, and I remember leaving her apartment one morning and it was pouring rain and coming downstairs and hiding under a scaffolding, and I literally turned to my left and it's Adrian Brody.
Yes.
With I don't know, this model that he was with, and I was like, fuck, I have to tell him that I made a rap song talking about that I look like him. And he was cool, and I approached him and I was like, yo, what's up, man? I know you make beats, and you know, it's like, so I had seen some interviews on him where like he talks about it. He makes beats and he listens to hip hop. And so I thought that'd be a nice intro. And I was like, yeah. So like, man, I just got to tell you that I made a song, where I talk about looking like you. And then the woman that he was with, she was like, oh yeah, you have a resemblance. And yeah. And then he was like, oh word. He was like, you got it on you? And I was like, no. I was like, no, like I don't have it on me. And I don't know if he gave me an email or something. I think he gave me an email. It's probably spam, some shit. I mean, he never responded. I sent it to him. I sent it to whoever it was, and he never responded. Maybe it's because like I kind of diss him a little bit in it, but
aww.
He's also, I mean, he shouldn't be mad at that.
It's
so much money.
Creative license. And I mean, that guy's an Oscar winner.
He has so much money.
He has an Oscar winner, and he made a beat for, oh God, who is it? C-Ray's Walls.
Did he?
Yeah. I forgot the name of the track. I think it's called Limelight. Or maybe that's the album. Look it up. I swear to God, you can look up Adrian Brody, C-Ray's Walls, and you'll find a track that he produced. It ain't half bad, but this is even better.
That's funny.
This is even better. It's called...
Shout Adrian Brody. Yo, if you're listening, holler at me. IMNSR.com.
This is
go talk to my management.
And this is a track he did in 2007? Is that correct?
That was probably 10 years ago. So,
2007, 2008?
2007? Sure. It came from going out and repeatedly people being like, you look like the actor. You look like Adrian Brody. You look like Adrian Brody. And then one night I was out and I was with Terbs, who produced this, and I heard it like 7 times in one night, and I was like, this is wild, and enough's enough. And we went back to his crib that night after the bar, and he had this
banged
beat
out.
and we recorded it. And so that's the story behind this.
Let's hear it.
Song Embarrassed.
Adrian Brody. Yeah, she said I look like Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody.
Yo, said I look like Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody. Yeah, she said I look like Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody.
She said I look like Adrian Brody. The way she approached me, she act like she know me. Tipsy outside the bar with a homie, talking to themselves as if I'm a crony. She goes, aren't you Adrian Brody? I get it all the time, except he's more phony. Famous as shit and me, I'm lonely. Plus mid-30s and me, I'm only 24, but it's increasing slowly. Watch his movies and Lowe's the Utry. Plus I think he's uglier than me. Show me a picture where I look like Adrian Brody. If it's a compliment, well then you owe me a quick turn in the sack, cause I'm honey. You could take a picture, but it costs money. I pose real hard with the fitted in a 40. Show it to your friends, they'll say it's phony. This tall white kid ain't no Brody. No fly actress, wife to homie. But there are some similarities, you know we. Both got dark hair, both got a nose we. Both got a slim face, slim waist body. If I really look like Adrian Brody, I'd play him on Broadway and win a Tony. My King Kong would be so long, she would blow me. And be the pianist for my pianist, okay? So next time you see me on the street, you could call
homie, NSR, aka Adrian Brody. Yeah, said I look like Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody, Adrian Brody. Said I look like Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody, Adrian Brody. She goes, oh my god, is that Adrian Brody? Adrian Brody, Adrian Brody. Man, I guess I look like Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody,
Adrian Brody.
Like that. Terms. A B. You see me, son. Yo, next time you see me on the street, just come at me correct. It's $50 a picture, $40 for a hug. You know what I mean? Check me on imdb.com. Adrian Brody, check out my stats. This shit is pretty deep, yo. You know what I mean? King Kong, pianist. You know what I mean?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
That's ridiculous.
Man. When was the last time you heard that track?
Ridiculous.
Yesterday. Like year.
What?
I listen to it every day while I shower. Like a year and a half. I think that sometimes if I'm at parties and I'm drunk or like someone, I mean, people know that I didn't and somehow. And so like they'll mention it and then I'll like rap it for people, but only when I'm intoxicated usually. But I don't listen to it for pleasure.
Do you like listening to yourself in music form? Are you a fan of your own work, or do you like to make it and then just sort of let other people listen to it, but you are not really into it?
It's more that I make shit and then I'm too self-conscious and then it just stays on my computer.
That's fair.
I mean,
I think that's how a lot of artists are in most cases.
Well, it's also this like, right, it's like you're I feel like making any art, you know, you oscillate between like crippling self-doubt as an artist and like extreme confidence. And I think that sometimes the pendulum swings more towards the self-doubt as far as like, I'll do something like, I think this is cool. I don't know if people will like it. And let's just leave it in the iTunes.
You made rapping look easy there. You made like, I mean, it comes effortlessly to you.
I appreciate
clearly.
It.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've known you for enough time now at this point to say that like, you've got the swagger and you've got like the confidence when you are performing and when you are even, I mean, I haven't unfortunately had the opportunity to be there at a show that you're rocking just on the ones and twos, but I imagine that confidence, knowing what you're doing when you're in that moment, translates well to when you're DJing as opposed to MCing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I've just always performed, you know, one way or the other when I was a kid, whether it was like putting on plays or, you know, or playing instruments for people, or when I used to do rap show. I mean, I haven't done like a rap show in 10 years. And also like, let's be clear that I don't want to like position myself as like a rapper that does rap stuff, because I feel like I don't really do that anymore. But I do think that a lot of that kind of influences and informs the stuff that I'm doing now. So like, I've been doing a lot more electronic stuff and floor to floor kind of dance based music. Mm-hmm. And I will always try and like incorporate original vocals in those, whether it be like little refrains or whether it be me trying to sing or whether it's like, you know, some like 8 bars here and there. So that's kind of like what that has morphed into now.
Amazing.
Where I am now is that I have a chunk of material that I've been sitting on for a while and that I've been working on and kind of refining my sound and figuring out, you know, how I want to present myself as an artist musically beyond the DJ stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually at a point now where I have a chunk of songs that I'm comfortable with and I'm starting to work on just getting them mixed and mastered. And hopefully, literally within like the next year, because I know that it takes a long time to put shit out. I mean, I used to go the route of like, just put it on Bandcamp or SoundCloud and, you know, whatever, and get whatever blog or website to premiere it. I'm finishing this body of work that I have, and then I'm going to start chopping it around. And so hopefully there will be something like official within the next year.
Dude.
And then I'll come back on and
bring more of the embarrassing clips with you.
And I'll bring embarrassing shit.
You're gonna stick around with us. We have not even scratched the surface with Noah Sauderusso here this week on Lost and Rewound. When we come back, we're gonna dive back a little farther, even past 2007, 2008, to when we were both in undergrad. This is, once again, your audio archive shit show known as Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. Stick around. Hey, welcome back. If you want to listen to any of our old episodes of Lost and Rewound, you can do so. There is a large chunk of episodes that you can hear up on Podomatic, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify. Those are our four main platforms. Feel free to take a look at our Podomatic website first and foremost, though. That's the easiest place to hear our material. You can download episodes without having to access the web. Just, you know, download them onto your phone, man. Lostandrewound.podomatic.com. And this is our episode here with Noah Soderusso, and we're about to dive into WICB City Rhythms.
Shit.
to recap, I'm going to... What's up?
I'm laughing because I'm just thinking about what...
What's like, the I first have, thing that comes you to your have. Mind?
All right, so you wrote me...
out of the blue after, you know, not having chatted for, you know, for some time.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey.
You're like, I have this footage or this, like, you know, I have this recording of you. I think you said from Team Facelifts?
Yes.
Okay, cool. For those of you who don't know, Team Facelift was like a crew. They were like a rap group. Who
did you go all, to high school with them? In,
I think they went to shit. I don't know. I think they went. They might have gone to Beacon or maybe one of them. They went to shit. No. I mean, they're actually all really dope artists.
And they're
almost respect. And like, yeah. And Fat Jew obviously is like, you know. I was talking to my girlfriend about this, and she's Israeli, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, Team Face. And she's like, I don't know. She doesn't pay too much attention to pop culture, which is one of the reasons why I love her so much. And I was like, oh, Fat Jew. She's like, oh yeah, Instagram dude, you know. So I think he's probably the most notable member.
Is it the same Fat Jew?
Yeah.
Wait a second. You mean to tell me that...
I'm putting you on now?
I thought they just happened to have the same name. The Fat Jew that was part of Team Facelift.
Yeah.
Who... Dude.
Yeah. There's a lot of Fat Jews.
I'm becoming a Fat Jew as far as I'm concerned. No, so you're saying that the Fat Jew...
Yeah, he started out on Team Facelift of like the one.
Oh jeez. Oh well, gosh. I got more,
he's a great dude.
More than I was expecting for this week. But
you
incidentally,
got clout now.
Not yeah, we've reached that one. So to recap, I was on the exec staff in my senior year of working at WICB. It's 2004-2005. I know exactly the date that this was recorded. It is almost exactly, Noah, 14 years ago to the day.
14 years ago?
Yep.
Holy to the, shit, almost I'm old.
To the exact day. Let's get into it.
Fuck.
We're going to listen to...
All right.
This is me.
This is from ICB?
This is you on the mic. I'm going to play... There's three clips I have, and they're pretty long, but this one's a little short. So we'll get started, and this is the primer. The primer, I say.
All right, let's go.
92, WICB, Ithaca. What's going on, Central New York? Saturday night jump off. Your man Optics holding it down. Hip Hop Anonymous is in the place to be.
What up?
All right. Yep, you just heard Method and Busta Rhymes, the new joint, What's Happening. Before that, Lloyd Banks, I'm So Fly. Started the show off with Jadakiss, Air It Out. A little weather break right now. Today, the rain is going to end early. All right. I'm glad that rain's over. So tonight is going to be mostly clear. Lows kind of dipping around the lower 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. Temperatures are dropping. If y'all were at the football game today, I see one. B. Hardwick, crazy game. And it was freezing. It was not like last week. So be prepared for those dipping temperatures. Currently, it is 49 degrees atop Ithaca South Hill. What's going on, Hip Hop Anonymous?
Good, yo. We got an interview coming up soon, sometime in this hour. We got a group called
Team Facelift coming into the studio. Can't wait for that. And make sure to stay tuned for the Underground show tonight between midnight and 2, because got a little interview with Wordsworth, a phone interview with Wordsworth. So stick around for that,
yo. It's going to be crazy. I actually saw Wordsworth on 106 and Park as a judge.
Oh, for real?
For Freestyle Friday, on the last Freestyle Friday. So he's definitely doing his thing, you know. Definitely check that out after the Saturday Night Jump Off. And then at 12 o'clock, I have crazy, crazy exclusives for you. I'm about to hit you with one right now. Jay-Z and R. Kelly joint, Big Chips. This is now, if y'all haven't heard, the Best of Both Worlds Part 2. I don't really know, you know, how they're trying to do it, but this joint is definitely crazy, along with a bunch of other exclusives coming up in the next 2 hours. Keep it locked. The number to call, 274-3217. You listen to The Jump Off, Optics, Hip Hop Anonymous, holding you down, ICB, City Rhythms.
Yo, if somebody called you Optics now, would you punch them in the face?
No.
You'd be like,
I'm going to punch myself in the face. First of all, god damn, what is wrong with my voice?
Dude, what was wrong with my voice? I was trying to do like the same thing.
I think I was listening to so much Cypher Sounds at that point, and I just wanted to be Cypher Sounds, probably. I was so hyped. Oh my god. That's probably also the point in my life where like I was going to the Dominican barbers and getting shape ups. So
What made you do that?
What made me do anything? Wow, damn, that's so crazy.
Sorry, I know. I should have prepared you.
I had no preparation. I was really hyped. I was just super hip hop. I was really that's the most hip hop I think that I've ever been ever.
It sounded
before,
like to
ever.
Me that I was trying to match just how hip hop you were and be equally as excited. I never heard of this group ever. I was like, yo, we got an interview coming up. Stick around. It's gonna be hot.
Yeah, I think.
What the fuck, Alon?
Yeah. You got embarrassed too.
Yeah.
We're all getting embarrassed.
My favorite part of that particular clip is when you're doing the weather and you're going super
hard on
the weather.
Hard on the weather. Hey, yo, son. Yo, check it out. Yo, it's about to rain, but yo, the rain's going to stop. You know what I'm saying? Yo, it's going down. I mean, literally, like, it's going down like thunderstorms and shit. You know what I mean? But yo, check it out. All right, cool. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Ay, Dios mío. Also, for the record, fuck R. Kelly.
Yes.
So and with, put that out there.
And with that, let's keep going because there's so much more.
92 WICB Ithaca, Optics holding it down. Saturday Night Jump Off. We got a little special treat for you right here. I just want everyone in the studio right now to introduce themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Still, this is Team Facelift.
Team Facelift.
And it's a big special treat. And
it's huge. All right.
Huge. Secret. They call me the Fat Jew, the White Morgan Freeman. Dots on the face.
Wow.
My name is Kareem Shalat Islam. This is Machine right
here. This is Machine, the White Bobby Brown.
Okay. Huh? Okay, so where y'all from, actually?
We're from Manhattan.
Yeah. All right, that's what's up. I'm from Manhattan, too. All right. And this cat right here lives a block away from me. High up the west side. That's what's up.
I'm from Senegal.
Oh, word?
All right. Nah, not really. It's all good.
We got Senegal CDs somewhere in this.
All right, I feel that.
Senegal.
I feel that.
That's what's up. All right, so first and foremost, I mean, y'all got some pretty eclectic names. On how'd you get those?
I went to, like, during the first Intifada, like, over in Afghanistan.
All right.
Like, I went over there, I was fighting the Jihad. Like, there was the first Jihad, and that was the name that I was bestowed upon me.
Word.
Some of my elders.
All right, peace.
My name's a little more basic, because I'm literally a fat Jew. It's a, right. You know, like, everyone should have a literal nickname.
Where's the webcam? Can we get that?
All right.
Yeah.
This is not a joke.
Look at those breasts.
Those are man breasts.
Wow. Show me your man breasts.
I have man breasts.
Get some okay.
All right. All right, let's keep it clean. All right, no doubt. So what about
Machine?
What about man right here?
Machine. Explain this. It's very deep.
He has no emotions. He's like not really a human being.
Feelings don't compute, unfortunately.
It would be unfair.
No emotions.
He yearns for them, though, sometimes.
He cries motor oil.
Yeah.
What are these emotions? This does not compute.
Yeah, he doesn't even understand the meaning of the word.
Wow. All right, that's what's up. Okay, definitely. So where'd y'all all get started out?
Started out, I mean,
are
like
you
rapping?
From Manhattan? Yeah, like you went to the same high school or?
Oh, I don't even know. I think mostly on the golf game circuit.
What high school? Slow down. What high school did you guys go to?
I went to the day school.
Okay.
I went to the yeshiva.
Okay.
That's where I started. Yeah, that's where I started battling.
Yeah.
Working the yeshiva circuit. There's a lot of battle rap on the Yeshiva circuit that people kind of sleep on it.
He's the hottest and fattest Jew out right now.
Of all time. And Machine Machine grew up in a junkyard and never went to school.
I was put together by my mom, Maureen. Shout outs to her.
Shouts. Okay, definitely. Big ups to all the moms. All right. Especially mine. Yeah.
Serious.
All right. All right, so what is this? I'm skipping over that question. Yeah. All right, so let's get real. Like, what are y'all influences?
Wait, what was that question?
Yeah, we're skipping over it for now. Because I'm not the one who typed it up, and this.
Yo, man, for real, just keep going, man.
I thought maybe it was personal. All right,
Nah. Personal. Nah, I'm trying to get emotional.
I want to cry.
Let's get to the bottom of things.
No. All right.
Ask me about, like, I don't know, ask me about my mom. Like, let's get serious.
All right, so can I ask you about, like, your hip-hop influences and whatnot?
My mom.
How about that?
Thank you. It's a tie-in right there.
Does your mom rhyme, though?
She makes beats.
Is she nice?
She's a beatbox. She's a mad good beatboxer.
Word. All right. That's what's up. All right, so.
Before, was that after you started getting into the rap thing?
Well, she kind of, like, put me on. All
right.
She schooled me to, like, the whole game, like, the industry side of things.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Who am I rap? I never even thought about who my rap influences were. I don't even really like.
We basically listen to only like Team Facelift music.
Yeah, basically. I'd say like Drag. Probably Dragon from Rough Riders is probably my biggest influence.
Pumpkin, like that. You like that fast, like
hardcore. I mean, we had him over for dinner. He met my mom. He like pretended like he liked her cooking even though it was bad. So I was like, you know what, he's a nice guy, I'll buy a CD, and then it was alright, you know.
Okay.
So it's more just like, you know, we're friends.
Okay, that's what's up. Alright, so all y'all from Manhattan, obviously, like you stated, big ups to Manhattan. So what the hell y'all doing in Ithaca, really?
Well, we're about to do a show, actually.
Yeah, we're on tour right now.
Okay, you on tour?
The Back to Africa tour.
You going to Cornell? All right.
Play some frat meatheads.
Where are you guys touring at?
We did a show at Bard. And then we did. Oh, where are we going tonight, you mean?
At Cornell, yeah.
It's at the SAE frat.
SAE frat? Yeah. And that's tonight?
Yeah, tonight.
Okay.
Right after we leave here.
Okay.
It's going to be bananas.
You know the address?
101 McGraw Place. My mom's working the door.
It's free. But it'll take a toll on your emotions. Already.
Okay.
I guarantee that.
What?
So that is free. So 101 McGraw Place, right?
Yeah.
Everyone out there, SAE frat, Cornell, it'll move. Check that out.
It'll move.
If you want to see a fat Jew in a woman's blouse.
Yo, I would come to see you.
That's
man.
What I'm saying.
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious.
In a woman's blouse, if you've never seen that.
Dead serious.
Or men riding horses.
Yo, this kid is not joking, though. You think this is a game? It's for real. It's as real as it gets.
Yo, for real. I'm like, yo, if you want to check out and really see what's up, you can go to WICB.org. See for yourself.
And go to TeamFacelift.com.
Check it out. TeamFacelift.com.
Yeah, straight up.
We got nudie pictures for sale.
Yeah, we got a lot of merchandise.
Dirty underpants.
It's true, though. I got my cell phone in there. You can call me. I do bar mitzvahs. I'll come over and just hang out with you.
Okay.
We'll touch each other.
Each of us caters to like
I play in your living
fetish.
Room, whatever.
It's spasmatic. I just keep it clean, guys.
No, absolutely. I mean, we were just on Regis and Kathy Lee, so like we know how to tone it down.
Okay,
but,
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
So you're doing your talk show thing? Like,
we're
the promotions
for the tour,
the kind of
gain support and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Alright, that's what's up. I'm feeling that. So a question that's coming from Hip Hop Anonymous back here, aka Big Dog Pitbull, is what is the aspect of rap you hope to most change?
There's not enough transvestites.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Word up.
It's too many like men and women defined listening to rap, but not enough like of both. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Diversify the game.
Right. Exactly. Some hermaphrodites and transvestites.
Right. I'm feeling the style.
Exactly.
It is a question. This is off the dome, by the way. What do y'all think about like the whole white tee phenomenon? And now you know they got the franchise boys, right? The white tee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The song that they put out.
The white tee.
We have so many things that you just touched on something. Like you literally just opened up.
It's been in my mind.
Yeah. First of all, strictly, you're not even rocking a white tee unless it's 6X or up.
Oh, no.
Right?
And it has to hang down below your knees.
Absolutely.
To the ankles.
Right.
You gotta throw it away.
Is it just me or do thugs not look like they're like going to like a sleepover party? It looks like a, you know what I'm saying? It looks like a nightgown.
Yo, if they wear shorts, it might cover the shorts. And it might
Oh, no, it will cover the shorts. Go down to the thighs. And these days, you'll see layered crispies. A green crispy over a pink crispy over a white crispy over a blue crispy. That's the nexus.
Wow, that joint is crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely. So anything you want to say like about your music, you know what I'm saying? Like just to get out to people out there why they should listen to you.
I think Machine should handle this one.
Handle it.
I just want people to see me in my underpants and understand that we are a bunch of grown men who cry like babies. But, you know, other than that,
basically, that sums it up.
We're trying to keep it cutty. Team facelift.
Okay.
So, machine gun rap.
So I know your music is obviously different, but it's probably how I haven't heard it, so I can't even lie. Did you bring exclusives?
Yeah, we
got some exclusives. Yo, for real, how about we get into a song right now? What do we got coming up, Optics? We got a song coming up, and then when we come back, how about we get a little freestyle session?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, yeah. We got this crazy new joint from Mobb Deep. It's the Alchemist produced Win or Lose. The beat is crazy on this.
All right.
Yeah,
bananas.
Definitely. Yeah, it's bananas. And definitely, we'll come back. Team Facelift is in the building. It's very serious.
Back to Africa. I
call your mother.
We about to have the freestyle session jumping off. Keep it locked. 92 WICB. You want to call and talk to them. Number to call, 274-3217. Keep it locked. Come on.
Come on.
Hey, yo, keep it locked. Hey, yo, we on Radio Free Brooklyn right now. You know what I'm saying? Keep it locked.
Wow.
Shit. See, now it all makes sense why
that was a Pandora's box of clips right there.
Why I got beat up.
What?
As a youth. Really. It's all very clear.
2004. I'm on the exec staff.
You're Hip Hop Anonymous.
I am Hip Hop Anonymous.
That was your radio name, Hip Hop Anonymous?
That was my name. I really was trying like my darndest to keep everything going in like a reasonably quick speed. You could hear me being like, all right, let's keep it going. You hear me in the background just like trying so desperately to get in on this cool crowd, and I'm not at all, like, everyone's just like, oh, who's this weirdo?
I never want to hear that ever again.
Yeah, well, that's why you didn't hear it before we got to the studio.
I would have never agreed to do this had I heard. Holy shit. First of all, I'm a terrible interviewer. Like, really, really bad. It's really just nonsense.
They were your friends. So you had a relationship with them. And when you are talking to somebody, look, dude, you should hear. Sil and I have much business to cover, because we would interview rappers and he would ask, you know, more or less pretty good questions. And my questions were not bad, but they were so much more verbose, you know, nothing different than I'm doing now as a host for the show. But for strangers over the phone who have made careers rocking shows, you know, and being quite decorated MCs. And I'm asking Cannabis about this one thing or the other, being like completely mindless about like how long I'm trailing on. So at least you're like, so what do you think about all the trends that are going on these days? What about those white tees?
Oh my God.
And then they would just you would throw them a softball and then they would just like.
Everything was softballs. There weren't even real questions. Well, it also makes sense. Like, you know, even if you just take Fat Jew, like this, it's like, it makes sense, you know, why he's so successful now doing what he does now. It's like, that's kind of how he's always been.
We're going to get to this final of the trilogy.
I hope my mom never listens to this.
Here we go.
92 WICB.
Yes, yes.
We're here with Team Facelift. Let's get the beat jumping off. All right? How's that? How's the volume for you?
Sure.
Come on, Michelle.
He's got this.
Yo. Let him know.
Oh, let me hear something. I got something to hear, yo. I got groupies climbing balconies just to get a sight of me. They lie to my security, little girls in VIP. Woo. I see my name tattooed on your titties. Uh-huh. Fans screaming, sold out shows every city. There was Pamela, Angela, Lisa, Renee, Bang Boss, smoking dust all the way to LA. Woo. We called Bobby the lawyer. Yeah, called him yesterday. He's got some coked up producer's house where we can stay. Hungover. I got ambushed at the airport. I'm signing so many autographs, both my damn hands hurt. I'm with the helmet, lank skirt, and the custom fitted man purse. With fans, I don't flirt. I got roadies who know me, know what gets me off sexually. Women with chin straps like Ashanti. Chicks like that, down to get smacked and pissed on. I have 1,000 girls crying before I finish the song.
What? Killing it.
Machine. Yeah.
Yo, face. Yo, what you looking at? You look whack. Peace to your book of rap. I got to book a match. I'm in the hot zone, in the kitchen cooking crack. I've been strung out like I took a hit and took a nap. That's how it gets when you with drugs like that. Rugged this rap, don't take no time. The words don't match. Ask your persons, it's the team facelift plastic surgeons. Poolside with 15-year-old virgins. At the Bangkok Sheraton, blonde hair Taliban Persian. Fat white American who support Al-Qaeda buying heroin. And stay elegant with nice coats. Yachts that come with light boats. New York is played, son, mad isotopes. Looking like the Strokes.
Alright, yeah, alright. Next one on the mic. Yeah, of course.
Thanks.
Good?
Hey, it's Fat Jew. Yo, 1-2-1-2, camera 2, cue Fat Jew's arrival. I'm in hotel rooms with Holy Bible with a style that's a farmer's market fresh, $1 million winning style. I'm an idol in America and you're just Ryan Stiles. I'm a giant child, poop my underpants like Grams, then pull out the selling dial. Where's my advance? Get it here quick and with a smile. Welcome to your 30-day trial of this team phase. Fat and Jewish, never out of style. I'm like gray and black, go with everything, and when gets tracked, late like Taya Wild. The entire wild, acro wrecking crew is wild, and we're wired, we're like animals, it's like you're on Survivor. We're fresh like Dove and Dial. Dust blunts and pedophiles gun. Tracking numbers filed. The fact you're in denial makes you more infantile. Russian immigrant like Fievel. You know.
Alright, so we do it. Alright, so we can roll again.
I have rest,
alright, so I mean,
I'm what, have
I? Since they up in here, I gotta do a little something. I haven't even spent in a minute, but check it out. Yo, check it. Hey, yo. Life is filled with voices and despiteful threats. So my mic is set at a level of priceless text. I strike with hex to vexed. I've been criticized for losses. So to minimize this gauntlet, I improvise the cautions. I've been the wise through all this. Still, I ride the corporate lathe through enslavement. I've never paid for engravings, but hasten the way that my greatness was adjacent to tasteless. Faceless is anus. The mainstream's in need of a facelift just to change it. To stray away from the basis of wasteless engagement that gets stated and played with and played with. That ain't it. So I spit to rectify what was tainted. Fainted is great stuff, not stressing lies to the fainted. Hip hop, it's amazing. Captivating, but waiting for optics to start to changing. And then debating of whether what's raining or radio's hating my aiding. Or is this ignoramus of a nation just patiently waiting? It's been a minute.
Okay, so.
No more.
That's it. That's all I got for you, man.
How much of that do you have? Like, do you have a lot of old shows?
Yes, I do. I do have a lot of old shows, and okay. You'll get to hear more of them in future episodes. We do have to get out of here, actually. Fantastic. Right now. So
this was great up until you started playing that shit. No, it was fun. It's fine. I've grown. I'm a different human being. Thank you very much for that.
Noah Sauter-Rosso here on Lost and Rewound this week, Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Alon. Lashana Tova. Hope you all had a safe fast this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Topic is matzah. I got a lot of memories that Elon just exposed me to. I can't even imagine what I was going through. I was like trying to be Cypher Sound, trying to be Funk Flex. Fuck it, man. What's going on? What's next? I don't know. You see me, I got dumb checks. And I'm not talking about Chex Mix. I'm talking about how I flex this. I'm on some next shit. NSR, not the best kid, but I try sometimes. Back in the day when I tried to rhyme, it was like, cyanide. Real backpack rap. Man, I totally forgot about that until you put me on. But it's okay, because we all get embarrassed by the past one day.
Yo, someday. The underground sounds. It's not lost and rewound. But all I gotta say is that I'm really lucky that I found the clips that I found, because I know I like it. And now I have to try to pretend not to spite it. But despite all of my best intentions, I got to mention that I don't even want to be stuck in detention. Get me matzah, get me the bread unleavened. Yeah, that may be my stairway to heaven.